Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 35, Poem in Your Pocket. Tuesday, April 22nd, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yin Hu Chaoyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram as Sarah Pomegranate. This week's episode includes the following segments: ever-expanding skill set, the back porch, the front porch, double happiness, and gratitude journal. Happy Earth Day, and I hope you enjoy the show. This week I heard from Tanya Marie from Virginia, Out of This World, who is Mary Beth, and who will be hiking 500 miles of the Appalachian Trail this summer and coming very close to my home in Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania. Swensty, with whom I am arranging some plans to meet up at Maryland Sheep and Wool. Wooshel Tigger, Halcyon, and Prairie Piper. Cappuccino136 left a beautiful review on iTunes, who said that listening to Yarns at Yin Hu is like visiting a Zen garden. Thank you so much for that review. And Quiltalot33 left a hashtag BulkBinsCAL post on Instagram. So thank you for joining in to the BulkBins cook-along. Ever-expanding skill set. This week, I continued the bulk bins cook-along by using rice to make an Easter pie. This is a recipe from Giada of the Food Network, and it's a recipe that has received a lot of criticism. If you read the posts online, a lot of people talk about the recipe as being bland. I really like the simplicity and the texture of an Easter pie with rice, and I continue to make this recipe. I'm not particularly opposed to something that doesn't have a huge intensity of flavor. The Easter dinner that my mother prepares is usually a ham dinner. And following a ham dinner, I like to have something that is relatively delicate or gentle in its flavorings, and I think that this Easter pie made with rice foots the bill. Each time I make it, I try to experiment with some particular way to amp up the flavors that are there. So this is a pie that has a phyllo dough crust, which is very convenient and easy to make the morning of your Easter dinner. And it has a filling that's kind of like a custard filling. It has a lot of eggs. It has about a half a cup of rice, but I usually use more than that, and ricotta, as well as some vanilla and orange rind and pine nuts. It is not a very sweet pie, and I like that a lot. You just use about a half a cup, I think, of powdered sugar in this recipe. This time when I made the rice pie, I tried to amp up the flavor in the following ways. First, I soaked the pine nuts in an orange liqueur overnight. Second, I grated my orange rind, and then I used the orange juice as part of the cooking liquid for the rice. I used some water, but I used predominantly orange juice to cook the rice. And I used a basmati rice that I had purchased from the bulk bins at my local health food store. And the third thing I did to amp up the flavor a little bit was, instead of using vanilla extract, I used about a third of a vanilla bean, and I scraped the pulp from the inside of the bean. Whenever I do that, I always stick the bean into my sugar bowl. And when I'm making coffee in the morning, I have vanilla flavored sugar to put into my coffee. I really like this pie. It makes a great presentation, and I think it is endless in terms of ways that you could experiment with it. For example, you could use lemon rind instead of the orange. You could use a variety of kinds of liqueur to soak your pinoli nuts. Some folks said that pine nuts being incredibly expensive, they've used blanched almonds instead of the pine nuts, so that's another idea. And you could use different varieties of rice. You could also use cottage cheese in place of the ricotta cheese and get a different kind of a texture. I have linked to Giada's basic recipe for this pie in the show notes on my website, and I hope you give it a try. In additional news for the Bulk Bins Cook Along, we will be experimenting with more whole grains in May. I have discovered the Whole Grains Council online at wholegrains.org, and they have a grain of the month on their website. So for the month of May, I will be cooking along with the Whole Grains Council, and they are devoting May to amaranth. This is something I have never cooked, and I don't even think it's something I have eaten. If I have had amaranth, I didn't realize that that's what I was eating. So this should be a month of extreme experimentation, and I'm excited to cook along with you. If you decide to join in at any time, you can find threads with recipes and photographs each month on the Ravelry thread, and you can also post your photos or recipe links with hashtag BulkBinsCookAlong on your favorite kind of social media. The back porch. This week I had a great deal of knitting time because I had the week off for spring break, and I completed the Farbklang or Color of Sound accessory scarf cowl by Simone Eich of Woolwork. I had talked about this in the previous episode as a great pattern if you like experimentation and improvisation, and I stand by that. This is also a great pattern for using up scrap yarn. I was using some of the Zitron Zeitlost and Barocco vintage yarns that I had used on other projects. Initially, I thought that I would knit this up in blues and greens, but I really liked the way that the orange pops in this pattern because I used blue for the main portion of the cowl and orange as the accent color and also the yarn to do the weaving. There is a row in the center of this elongated triangle where you yarn over every other stitch, and then in the following row, you drop those yarn overs, and that gives you a wide lane for weaving a contrasting colored yarn, and then you can string beads on the end of that yarn. It's a fantastic pattern. I really like Simone's designs and her sense of what kind of structure would be great for playing with color. I used US size 6 4.0 millimeter needles for this, and Simone asked if she could use my pattern photo, the project photo on Ravelry, as one of the featured photos for her pattern page. So, of course, I said yes. And I also posted a photograph of this in the show notes on my website. So, I hope you check it out, and I hope you give Farbklang, Color of Sound, or any of Simone Eich's patterns from Woolwork a chance. On the front porch are a few new projects, one I talked about last time, and I have another one. So I have received the yarn I ordered from Leading Men Fiber Arts. I've heard so many podcasters talk about the color sense of these gentlemen who dye yarn, and I ordered some lace weight in seaweed color. It's gorgeous. This is a merino silk blend, very fine, very strong, and not extremely tightly plied. So it has a nice texture to it, and I think it reminds me of turquoise, actually, more than seaweed, like a natural turquoise with some color variations. It's just beautiful. I am knitting the tripartite vest by Stephen West on US size 4 needles. This will be slow going with the lace weight yarn. I haven't knit anything in lace weight before, so this will be quite an adventure. But as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that I really enjoy Stephen West's designs, and I like the versatility of this vest as a summer garment, because you can wear it either way. You can put your arms through the holes with a nice soft draping neckline, or you can turn the vest over and have, instead of a draping neckline, you can have a draping waistline. You can also put both armholes over your head and have a cowl. And I think there are a variety of other ways that he demonstrates wearing it. So I think this will have great versatility. I think it will look nice with summer jewelry and a little bit of a tan and other natural fabrics like linen and cotton. I plan to have this completed certainly by July when I attend the Super Summer Knit Together in Nashville. And I'd really like to show the gentleman from Leading Men Fiber Arts what I have created with their really beautiful yarn. Another pattern that I've begun is Clincher by Ash Kearns. This is a really versatile design as well, and I think it's something kind of along the lines of the sockhead hat, where you can use a skein of sock weight yarn, maybe something that has extremely vibrant colors or a special skein of yarn that you're not sure what to do with. And then you use additionally some scraps of a contrasting color sock yarn to make a very elongated triangle that wraps around and pulls through some of the loops that you make with the contrasting color. This seems to me like it will be a really fantastic pattern for social knitting. So you can sit around and talk and listen and not have to worry about counting stitches or anything like that. It does have purling. Half of the stitches are purling in order to create a really nice ribbed texture on the scarf. And I know that some knitters enjoy the sockhead hat primarily because they're not fans of purling. I like purling, and I like the versatility of different kinds of stitches in an accessory. So I think I will enjoy knitting the Clincher by Ash Kearns. I have also received 2 new braids of fiber from Patricia of BZB Fibers. I ordered Pollination and Papaya. These will be spun up into yarn that I will probably be using to knit Christmas presents later in the summer. Not sure how quickly all of this will happen, but I made those purchases with different people on my Christmas list in mind. So I will be sure to let you know how the spinning is going with those. But as always, Patricia's fibers are absolutely impeccable. This is a BFL and a BFL silk blend with a nice put up. They're both over 4 ounces in weight, and I am very excited to get those on my wheel. Double happiness. April is National Poetry Month, and one of the events that is planned during April is Poem in Your Pocket Day. That will take place on April 24th, Thursday, and there are a number of ways that you can participate. As Poem in Your Pocket Day suggests, everyone is invited to print a copy of a favorite poem, preferably a shorter poem, stick it in your pocket, and throughout the day, ask friends, colleagues, even friendly-looking strangers, perhaps, if they would like you to share a poem with them. And who knows, maybe someone else will have a poem in their pocket to share. If all of that seems a little touchy-feely to you, or you work in an environment where that wouldn't go over very well, you might consider adding a short poem or maybe even a few lines from a poem as the signature to your email, or just sending an email to colleagues with a poem and say, hey, it's Poem in Your Pocket Day. Here's a favorite poem of mine. I have also had some success with printing out a copy of a poem and putting it over the photocopier in the teacher's room or in the lunchroom. You might print copies of a favorite poem and put them at the desk or in the mailboxes of coworkers. Or you might just link to a poem on one of your social media sites. Any way you do it, I hope that you take part in National Poetry Month this April. For a gratitude journal, I have a poem to share by W.S. Merwin. It's called Thanks. This is not a new poem, but it's new to me. I reported a couple of episodes ago that I was taking a poetry class for teachers through the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation. And one of the things that happens is that everyone brings 4 poems in packets and distributes them to the other people in the class. And that set of poems becomes the textbook, more or less, for the conversations that we have about poetry. And Thanks by W.S. Merwin was one of the poems that was included and brought by another member of our group. So I'd like to share it with you. Thanks by W.S. Merwin. Listen, with the night wind falling, we are saying thank you. We are stopping on the bridges to bow from the railings. We are running out of the glass rooms with our mouths full of food to look at the sky and say thank you. We are standing by the water, thanking it, smiling by the windows, looking out in all directions. Back from a series of hospitals, back from a mugging, after funerals, we are saying thank you. After the news of the dead, whether or not we knew them, we are saying thank you. Over telephones, we are saying thank you. In doorways and in the backs of cars and in elevators, remembering wars and the police at the door and the beatings on stairs, we are saying thank you. In banks, we are saying thank you. In the faces of the officials and the rich and of all who will never change, we go on saying thank you, thank you. With the animals dying around us, our lost feelings, we are saying thank you. With the forest falling faster than the minutes of our lives, we are saying thank you. With the words going out like cells of a brain, with the cities growing over us, we are saying thank you faster and faster. With nobody listening, we are saying thank you. We are saying thank you and waving, dark though it is.
Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. 2 ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for today's episode is So Wheat. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider leaving a review or a rating on iTunes, or you can like the show's Facebook page. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire. Just like Linda Curtis, but out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Nature's a get you high, till your face a smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.